You know, the title of the sermon is Filled Life. And the passage is from John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." That we may have life and have it to the full. You know, in some dysfunctional church, you know, some church, the work of Jesus, only thing that they focus on when they think about the work of Jesus on the cross is suffering, you know, that's their main focus. When you see the cross, the first thing that comes to their mind is suffering. And so it kind of come into, you know, almost every area of their Christian life. So what they say, if the emphasis and focus and the most important thing is suffering, you know, Christian life, they'll tell us, is difficult. You know, it's filled with pitfalls and, you know, there's evil everywhere, enemy everywhere. And because Jesus' death on the cross was just about suffering, the church, that church will just focus on sin. Why? Because sin causes suffering. You know, but when the focus is on sin, what happens? It creates a culture of shame in that church. This church doesn't, you know, this church doesn't deal with sin, but hide its sin. When there's shame, like Adam and Eve, they felt shame, they ran away and hid, you know. There's no vulnerability, you know, when there's shame, there's no vulnerability or openness in the church. And what happens in this church is that they wear a mask, you know, they wear a mask and, because they care more about their image than what's going on in their heart. Because Jesus' death on the cross was just about suffering, right? In this church, they talk about the devil, they talk about evil. You know, everything outside of the church, they will say is evil. The government is, the school is evil. The media is evil. This nation is evil. This city that we live in is evil. This community, this neighborhood, and other churches are evil. And what that does, you know, shame, sin, you know, focus on sin creates a culture of shame. But a focus on evil creates this culture of fear. And fear prevents this church from loving one another. Fear causes this church to also hide. Fear causes this church to blame. In this church, you know, suffering, they will, you know, so they will teach suffering is the main thing God used to change people. It is not God's love, it's not God's grace, it's not mercy, but it's not the Holy Spirit power, but suffering. And so this church it's all about self-effort. It's about willpower. It's about human understanding. It's about performance. In this church, if you go to this church, they'll talk more about suffering than they talk about Jesus. They'll talk more about sin than talk about Jesus. They'll talk more about the devil than they talk about Jesus. In this church, because of the culture of shame, the culture of fear, it has this fortified mentality. It's not about reaching the world with the power of the gospel, but building its wall against the world so that the world does not come in. This church has a lot of conflict and problems. Members don't like each other or trust one another. They point out each other's weakness and shortcoming. There's, you know, gossip, and they cannot win the spiritual battle. And so, but in Catalyst, we're not like that. Praise God, we're not like that. The work of Jesus on the cross is much more than suffering. It's much more than suffering. It is about forgiveness. It's about freedom. It's about healing. It's about change in life. It's about eternal life. It's about new life. And Jesus says, "I have come that you may have abundant life." It's about abundant life. You know, Jesus said about you and I, about the church, that you will disciple nations. Okay? Let that be a prophetic word into your heart. You will disciple nations. And Jesus says about you and me, the church, the gates of Hades will not overcome you. Let that be a prophetic word in your heart. Let it be a seed in your heart. The gates of hell will not overcome you. You know, so it is not that we are to build a wall around the church. It's not about fighting one another. We are to go into the darkest place and bring the light of God into the darkness. We are to liberate others, the devil has taken captive and set them free. The devil is not supposed to come into the church and steal our spiritual territory, our hearts, our family, our identity, our calling and purpose. Jesus clearly had a different picture of spiritual warfare. The church is to be the aggressor against the kingdom of the devil and not the other way around. How does the work of Jesus on the cross give us abundant life? Right. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 38. Okay, John chapter 7, verse 38. It says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, this is Jesus talking to us, river of living water will flow from within them. This full, abundant, flowing life. This is this river of living water will flow from us. What is the river of living water? If you go one more verse, 39, it says, so that there's no confusion, right? So that there's no confusion. Jesus said, it's the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit. And if you kind of look at that next verse, verse 39, it talks about when Jesus, the Holy Spirit didn't come yet, but once Jesus is glorified. What does it mean when Jesus is glorified? On Good Friday, he died and he died on the cross. But on Easter, he rose again from the dead. Jesus is glorified. He resurrected. Jesus is glorified. So the work of Jesus on the cross opens the door to God's forgiveness, God's redemption, God's sanctification, and his righteousness. This is what I want us to remember, but it also opened wide the door for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. River of living water will flow from within you. It opens the door to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit came to few people with significant power for ministry in the Old Testament. But once Jesus is glorified, he resurrected, Holy Spirit is not limited to few people anymore. Did you hear that? It's not limited to few people anymore. Jesus says, okay, what did he say? Whoever believes in me. That's what Jesus says. Not if you speak in tongue, if you have the Holy Spirit. It says, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So when we become a Christian, whoever believes in Jesus, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Right? You are a Christian. Holy Spirit lives in you. And so, after the resurrection, Jesus told his disciple to wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come upon you and will give you the power to witness to the whole world. And that was Pentecost. That was Pentecost. It is the first time the Holy Spirit touched the new believers, the Christians. And now when you believe after the Pentecost, when you believe, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. In the book of Acts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there was powerful preaching. Christians were able to cast out demons. There were visions of heaven. They healed the sick. Christians received greater power to live their Christian life. There was greater spiritual maturity, greater power over sin, greater power to do ministry. The Bible talks about how, because the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, greater power to witness and to save the lost. Yeah. Holy Spirit is not this energy, you know, it's not, you know, don't look at Star Wars, the Force, it's not like that. You know, Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Peter tells Ananias that he lied to the Holy Spirit. He says, you lie to the Holy Spirit. And he says this, you have not lied to men, but to God. You know, Peter was saying, you know, when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God. He's God. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit, you know, in Acts 13, verse 2, you see that he speaks. You know, it's not this energy that's flowing around. He speaks. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, okay? The Holy Spirit said, this, the Bible says, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Holy Spirit said, he speaks. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Holy Spirit leads and he warns his people. Paul and his companion traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So he leads, he warns, he guides. In Romans 8, verse 26, the Holy Spirit intercedes. Okay? In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I want us to get away from this, you know, thinking of the Holy Spirit like this energy. Okay? That's not biblical. This force is not biblical. Holy Spirit is God. In John chapter 15, verse 26, the Holy Spirit testified when the counselor, another name for the Holy Spirit's counselor, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. Holy Spirit has emotions. He grieves or is saddened. Ephesians 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve him, it says, because he has emotions. You know, Holy Spirit wasn't created, but he has been at work from the beginning. Okay, from Genesis chapter 1, okay, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovered over the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. He is not created. You know, the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit creates. And we can't ignore the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge Catalyst. We need to pray to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We need to worship the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, but instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And on this is Easter day, that's what I want us to focus upon right now. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled? You know, to be filled, if our heart is filled with other things, you can't fill it with, you know, with the Holy Spirit. So we need to let go of some stuff, okay? You need to let go of some stuff. Let's let go of human understanding and human wisdom. what I notice about is when people lean on their own understanding, they tend to go, Holy Spirit, they don't focus on the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in supernatural healing. Right? So let go of human understanding, human wisdom. Right? Let go of lies about God, lies about yourself, lies about other people. And I want to, let's do that. Let's make it a ministry, okay, right now. Let it go. Let go of your own understanding, your own wisdom. Let go of the lies. And there are also, sin that we hold on to, but we got to remember what Jesus did on the cross. Some in here needs to repent, confess and repent. Let's gladly do that. Let's gladly. That's how we let go of sin. We confess and we repent. Some of you here need to rest. Right? You need to rest. When I'm anxious and stressed and busy, I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. You need rest. Some of you don't know how to receive. You need to know how to receive. Right? Well, let's put our faith in God, not the flesh, not the world, not the material things. Let's wait for the Holy Spirit, hunger for the Holy Spirit. Let's move in power of the Holy Spirit.